This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Of course, we were all overjoyed when we saw those 12 boys from the Wild Boar soccer team in Thailand escape their watery cave. But as they emerged, it kind of struck me, you know, how many girls in Thailand and in other parts of Asia are still trapped, stuck in literal cages of slavery with little help of rescue. Out of the Cages is a young adult novel that follows two little Nepali girls aged 11 and 12 who get trafficked into India to work in the sex industry. While the book portrays the very real horror of children being tricked into working in brothels, it's also a story about finding hope and healing. Penny Jay is the author of Out of the Cages. She also writes Christian books under the name Penny Reeve, and she's with me in the studio.
Hi, Katrina. Thanks for having me.
Well, writing a novel about the sex trafficking industry in India, it sounds like a massive undertaking. Did you have any idea what you were getting yourself into?
No, not really. I think I was very naive, both as a writer and a researcher. I thought it would just be a matter of learning a few new facts and gathering a few stories and putting it all down, making a good story. But the scope of the situation and the truth of the situation, the heartbreak, the courage of the story in the stories that I heard, it just grew and it just built around me. And I certainly didn't expect to be working on a writing project for about 11 years.
Yeah, that's huge. So what inspired you to write Out of the Cages?
My husband and I had moved to Nepal in the early 2000s. We were seconded by Tear Australia to work with International Nepal Fellowship to support the health and development work that INF was doing. If any of your listeners have read any of Naomi Reid's work, we were there at the same time as her. So we shared the sixth and the seventh monsoon with her. So that was kind of what it was like. And we were there. My husband was working as an accountant and I just got involved in the community and we had to learn Nepali, and I got to know a lot of, I had some really lovely close Nepali friends, and I think it was through them that I started hearing stories about trafficking happening in Nepal, young girls and women being sold across the border into India. And I just heard more and more of the stories, and I thought I'd just do some research. And but it wasn't until one of my friends sat down and shared their photo album with me, and there was a young girl in the photo album that I didn't recognise, and I said, well, where is this girl, and, you know, who is she? And apparently she had gone down to the river to wash her clothes and she had never returned. And I asked, well, where had she gone? And no one knew. And she could have been swept away by the river. She could have run away to find another life. But the question just nagged to me, what if she had been trafficked? What if she had been sold into slavery? Would she ever be able to come home? And I think it was those questions that really made the book come to life.
Mm. So what kind of circumstances could make a young girl vulnerable to being trafficked? It's hard for us, I think, living here in Australia to understand how it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is, because most of us in our everyday life, vulnerability isn't a big issue. But I think vulnerability is key when it comes to somebody trafficking another person, selling another person. But when I started researching, I thought it was just simple. I thought, oh, yeah, you know, if you're poor, then you're more likely to be trafficked. But I realised it wasn't like a one-size-fits-all kind of narrative around trafficking. Vulnerability and hope is something that traffickers prey on, that hope that life could be different, that life could be better, that I could get the finances to help get my mother better, or that I could get a job, or even for men who are trafficked, that I could get money to help my family. So it's not just a girl issue. It's an everyone issue, but the factors behind vulnerability can be poverty, but it's also just wanting a different life, something better.
So they prey on hope and they make promises of a better life and things that, of course, won't be delivered. In your particular story, Mina ends up working in a brothel, which they refer to as a hotel, inverted commas. How did you find out what life would be like for those kids working in the inverted commas hotels?
A lot of my research at the start was reading newspaper articles in Nepal and then visiting agencies that fight human trafficking, and they would have stockpiles of articles and written down stories, and I'd start talking to the workers in the NGOs, and they would just start telling me the stories. And so I found out details that way. I'd be asking specific things to help with writing my story. So, you know, what are the daily routines like in those hotels / brothels? But also I made sure I watched a lot of documentaries set in the brothels, because it's not so much the trauma that I wanted to find out about, but it was how does living like that affect you and affect the way that you perceive yourself as a person and your ideas of freedom. So I did not go into the brothels myself. I did all my research, I suppose, secondhand, but it was very confronting, the things that I learned about the treatment of the girls, especially the young girls, and the way that they had been kept hidden deliberately in case the police raids occurred, real deliberate ways of keeping people hidden and silenced, and children hidden and silenced. It was, very confronting.
It was quite shocking in your book when they have a police raid that the little girls are hidden behind a false wall.
Yeah.
You know, I found that really upsetting to think of these poor little girls being shoved into these dark places.
Yeah, and that's some of the stuff that I saw in some documentaries that were made by Indian NGOs who were conducting raids, and these were the things that girls who had been rescued had this inside knowledge, and they were using that to locate the girls who were hidden in the raids, working with police.
Can you tell us about the first time that you met a rescued survivor of sex trafficking?
It was in the last week of our time in Pokhara before our family returned to Australia. And one of the workers at a local NGO offered to take me out to meet this woman. And she asked me when I met her, this woman, she asked me not to use her name, so I will not use her name. And so she took me out. We got called a taxi and we drove up the windy road out to a village just out of Pokhara where I lived. And we sat on her smooth, mudded front porch and she shared her story with me. And I was exceptionally naive. I felt incredibly inadequate. My questions seemed so simplistic and stupid compared to the lived experience of this woman. And she had her young son climbing over her and eating mandarins, and she answered my questions as if wondering what on earth I wanted to know. And it just struck me how incredibly brave she must have been to come home to where her family was after her experiences. There's a lot of stigma still about someone who works in the sex industry, even if that was not that person's choice. But she sat on her front porch with me and she shared her story with me, and I was, I could no longer put these girls into any boxes. I could no longer make generalizations about them. I knew that the courage and the determination that these survivors have to keep living was something I needed to write about.
And that's why I guess your book focuses a lot more on the recovery than on the abuse. Now, in their recovery, one of the things that's really important to the girls is their friendships. And it's the girl characters in your book that sort of play very key roles in rescuing each other. Was that a deliberate decision to show the role that these women play in looking after each other?
I don't think it was deliberate when it came to the plotting of the book, the technical writing aspect, but it made so much sense because of what I'd seen and the people I'd met as I researched. I did most of my initial research when we lived in Nepal, but then I also returned to India in 2013 with an exposure trip with Stop the Traffic, and we visited Mumbai and Bangalore and Assam. And just seeing the determination of the people who work in the NGOs that fight human trafficking on the ground, just the fierce willingness to make change and to bring healing, it just really got to me, and I thought I needed to represent that. And some of those women had been trafficked themselves and had come out the other side and were working together as well. And then sitting, I remember sitting in Mumbai in a rehabilitation home, and there was a group of girls who had been rescued, and they'd been out of the brothels for a period of, I think one girl had only been out 1 or 2 weeks, and the longest staying resident was 2 years. And just the way they talked to each other, and you could tell that they had strong relationships and a willingness to banter with each other, but also to stick up for each other. And that really got to me, and I thought, yeah, trauma is one thing, but friendship contributes to healing in a way that we can't really explain, but we need to represent, and that's sort of ended up being such a strong theme because of that.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that happens in the book is that Mina, your main character, you know, she, after she's rescued, she starts to find her voice again and to realise that she's not to blame for what happened to her. Can victims often return to a normal life after they're rescued? What kind of issues do they have, you know, going back to, I guess, their life before, if that's possible?
I don't think going back to the life before is ever really an option. Going through that experience would changes a person dramatically. Healing is exceptionally difficult and a long journey. When these girls are rescued and then they have to embark on a journey of healing, it's not just the physical stuff that has to be healed. Living a life in a brothel, being treated like that, you're exposed to a lot of health risks and health concerns. So there's health things that need to be healed. But there's also the psychological stuff. And from the stories that I heard, when someone goes through that rehabilitation process, they are educated also about self-worth and about who they are and the value of themselves and the value of what they can offer, which is, I think, something that traffickers prey on at the start. They say, you can't offer anything. I can offer you the answers to all your problems. And so part of the rehabilitation process seems to be showing girls that actually they have got things that they can do. They can problem solve. It's often giving them ways to make an income, ways to encourage and support each other, ways to understand basic things like human rights. And I think sometimes that encourages girls to want to keep fighting.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, one thing that your novel really portrays is how complex the trafficking chain is. There's so many people involved, including often family members who may or may not know exactly what they're doing when they sell their children or their nieces and nephews. What would it take to break that chain?
You're right, it is exceptionally complex, and the trafficking as a global crime is exceptionally well organised. And I think if we want to make any difference in that, we have to be similarly organised and we have to be similarly passionate. They are motivated by financial gain, but we want to be motivated by freedom. And so we need to be tapping in with different organisations and making enough noise to make a difference. Trafficking thrives in silence and in secret. And so we need to break that. We need to know about it. We need to learn about slavery because it is happening today in a variety of things, not just in sexual slavery. It's in pretty much everything that we touch and do. And so we need to know about it, expose it, and then fight against it.
So what are some ways that we can join in that fight?
I think advocacy is a really huge thing. One of the big organisations that's really doing a lot of work on this is Stop the Traffic. Stop the Traffic have been working for a long time, identifying areas where slavery is taking place, for example, in the cotton industry or in chocolate and tea and coffee. And then they provide people with resources to make change, with the knowledge to know how to find those sort of resources that have not been made using slavery, and then how to put pressure on governments and shops and businesses to ask, say, actually, we do care who makes our clothes. We do care. So can you do your research and give us a product that has not been made by slaves? We expect people to be paid fairly for their work. And Stop the Traffic provides a lot of resources for that. And I've also been really instrumental in working with other organisations to get the modern day slavery bill up in front of Parliament, and as it currently is. This is really exciting for Australia to make a stand as a nation to say, you know what, we're not okay with slavery. And I think it's really exciting.
And Twiggy Forrest has been raising a lot of awareness too, hasn't
he? Yeah, he has. Yeah, and so it's just really good to learn and then act.
So where should people go to get more information, Penny?
I'd probably start with signing up to a mailing list with an organisation that's fighting trafficking. For example, Stop the Traffic on Facebook. They have some really good pages that keep people up to date, and they've got a really good mailing list as well. And that you get to find out about petitions you can sign and just practical things that you can do to help fight trafficking. Destiny Rescue, International Justice Mission. There's a lot of different Christian organisations as well as other organisations that just work really hard. So I just encourage people to find one that connects, especially with them, and just go for it. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Penny. Congratulations on the book. It's a beautiful book. It's beautifully written. As I've told you before, I was so moved by it that, you know, I just had tears absolutely streaming down my face when I was reading your book. And, you know, it really is a powerful story, well worth a read. Yep. So thanks, Penny, for coming to tell us about it.
Thank you.
That's Penny Jay, and her new novel, Out of the Cages, takes on the enormous sex trafficking industry in Nepal and India. It's recommended for readers aged 16 and up.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.